You know, we are living in critical times where we need help to do what we can't do ourselves. You know, our human ideas and philosophies haven't been enough. Medical knowledge isn't sufficient to heal every sickness and disease. Natural provision's not enough to help us feed all the hungry people in the world. Now, there is a time for us to do everything we can humanly. There's a time for us to use our minds to study, to learn, make plans. There's a time for us to work, labor, and build, and to move ahead. There's a time to come together and multiply our accomplishments. However, we must come to the point where we acknowledge our need for the supernatural power of God. Now, let's look at here at Elijah and Elisha in 2 Kings 2, 9 through 14 in NLT. When they came to the other side, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I can do for you before I'm taken away." And Elisha replied, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit and become your successor." "You've asked a difficult thing," Elijah replied. "If you see me when I am taken from you, then you will get your request. But if not, then you won't." As they walked along, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared, drawn by the horses of fire. It drove between the two men, separating them, and Elijah was carried by a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha saw it and cried out, my father, I see the chariots and the charioteers of Israel." And as they disappeared from sight, Elisha tore his clothes in distress. Elisha picked up the cloak which had fallen when he was taken up. Then Elisha returned to the bank of the Jordan River. He struck the water with Elisha's cloak and cried out, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" Then the river divided, and Elisha went across. I don't, if you want a title for this, you call it, "Where is the God of Elijah?" Now, Elijah was gone. So, Elisha picked up his coat or mantle, went back to Jordan, and he struck the waters with it and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" Now, Elisha knew the kind of God that Elijah served. He knew he was a God of miracles. He was a God of as a healer. He was a God of as a provider. He was a God as a protector. He was a God as a deliverer. Elisha knew this was who the God of Elijah was. The question here Elisha asked really is, will the God of Elijah also be my God? Elisha is wondering if the same God would be with him since Elijah was gone. Is God gone? Or is he still here? Now, in the generation of Elijah, when he was the prophet, God showed himself mightily in mighty miracles and miraculous things. Now, Elisha is wondering, will he always be the same God today as he was in Elijah's day? Will he be the same God in my day? Now, most of us know the rest of the story. We've read the Word of God. When Elisha said that and struck the water, it divided. He walked across. Well, we got to realize that the power of God is available and it's the same in every generation. But it seems that in the generations that we are living in now, that many people think that the God of the Bible is not here today. But I'm here to tell you that's incorrect. the God of Elijah and the God of Elisha is still the same God today. Now, we could go back in our history, Pentecostal, charismatic history, and there's names like, and the younger people wouldn't know these names, but John G. Lake, Amy Simple McPherson, she was the organizer of the Foursquare organization. Smith Wigglesworth, Catherine Kuhlman, Oral Roberts, Kenneth E. Hagin, happened to be my dad, T.L. Osborne, many others who God used mightily in years gone by. I was there in that 47 to 58 healing revival, and there my dad, Oral, T.L., I knew these personally. And I could name many, many more of those people that in fact, Tony Cook has been wanting me to sit down with me and do an interview because he said, you're one of the few people that's still alive that knew all of these people personally, been in their meetings. But, you know, and I saw the supernatural power of God move. As you could know, I was born in 1939, September the 3rd. And I was in on a Sunday, and I was in church the next Sunday. I've been through all of it, and all the revivals. And I want to tell you that God's still the same today. But too many people are looking backwards instead of looking forward. They are looking back, and many of you sitting in this congregation are your younger people, your parents or your grandparents, got into this charismatic, we call it the charismatic renewal, back during when there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. How many of you came in back in the 70s and the 80s? You came into the early 90s into this Pentecostal, we called it the charismatic renewal. I was there. I was part of that. But too many people are looking back. Too many people are saying, well, we need the good old days. No, we don't need the good old days. I don't want to go back there. I want to go forward. And we need to realize that God is the same God today as he was then. You know, sometimes we see people mightily use the God, and we often think, well, is God going to move today? And people ask the question, will the God of Elijah and Elisha be the same God today? Well, let's take a journey. Let's go now to Judges in the Old Testament. God was a supernatural God in the Old Testament. In Judges 6, 12 through 13, the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles of our ancestors told us about? Why didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites. Here Gideon is asking the same question that Elisha asked. Elisha asked, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Gideon here is asking, where is the God of past generations? Looks like he said it looked like God had left them and abandoned them. Gideon knew of all the miraculous things that had happened to his ancestors, how they'd left Egypt, how they'd come to the promised land. But now, where were the miracles? And why had the enemy attacked them? The angel of the Lord had to help Gideon see that God had not abandoned, but he was still the same God. Judges 6, 14. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. But Lord, Gideon replied, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I'm the least in my entire family. The Lord said, I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. In this case, God wanted to use Gideon supernaturally to deliver Israel. But God had to get his thinking straightened out before he could use him, because God, he's thinking God is gone, God's not there, and look, who am I anyway? That you coming to me? I'm nothing, he's saying. But then, now let's fast forward a little bit, and let's look at some other things here. Let's look in the New Testament. The supernatural power of God was shown through Jesus. In Acts 2:22, this is Peter on the day of Pentecost preaching. People of Israel, listen. God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene, by doing powerful miracles, wonders, and signs through him, as you well know. Now, Jesus came, and he was in the world living, and they were just carrying out the traditions of their forefathers. Nobody was proclaiming the miraculous power of God. Most of the people didn't even expect nothing. When Jesus showed up, he declared that he had a supernatural anointing in Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim captive to be released, that the blind will see, and the oppressed will be set free. And he did. He healed the sick. He worked miracles. He supernaturally provided. He delivered people that were bound by the devil himself. Jesus showed the people that God is still the same God who did miracles in Elijah's day. Now, Peter preaching in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus and had the Holy Ghost in power and went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Now, I want to take a little side journey here for just a moment. Everybody said, well, that was Jesus. But wait a minute. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. If he was operating in his deity, God wouldn't have had to anoint him. If you go and study, you will find out that Jesus came. He lived on earth for the 33 or 33 and a half years, whichever chronological report you want to believe. He, as a man, being tempted as a human being, and that might be a better word, he did not fall into temptation. And he was showing us that this is what you can do when you're anointed by God. Now, he died as the Son of God so that we might have this anointing come on us. You see, many have a difficulty in believing that God will move supernatural. Most people have more questions than they have answers. They wonder why God isn't with them as they're facing a situation. And many people are wondering why God's not moving today. Well, they say, well, where is the God of the Bible? Does God still care about this generation? Yeah, he does. But we have to realize that God is still the same today as he was in the Old Testament, as he was in the New Testament. But the miracle worker is here for those who believe. The healer is here for those who will believe. The deliverer is here for those who will accept his deliverance. The provider is here to provide for you. The Bible tells us that the God of Elijah is still working. Come on now. Mark 16:17. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes safely. If they drink anything poisonous, it will not hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. Now, this doesn't mean that we're supposed to handle snakes. This means if something happens, you can believe God that they won't hurt you. I want you to notice the two important words in this scripture. Most people get carried away with, you know, being able to heal the sick and speak in tongues. But the two key words in this scripture are believe and the name of Jesus. Come on now. It says believe and in my name. God works through those that believe. God works through those that learn how to use the name of Jesus. Remember, before Jesus left, he told the disciples, up until now you have asked nothing, but ask the Father in my name. That tell him, and when he's gone, he's meaning, and I will do it for you. Let me tell you what, God's still the same God today that he's always been. The disciples believed this scripture that I just read to you, and everywhere they went, they were preaching the word and using the name of Jesus. And Mark 16:20 says, and the disciples went everywhere, preached, and the Lord worked through them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs. The same God that moved miraculously for Elijah and Elisha showed up for the disciples. The same God that moved supernaturally for Gideon showed up. The same God that moved in Jesus' ministry showed up. The same God that moved in the book of Acts when they believed and used the name of Jesus, the supernatural power showed up. And today, when we begin to realize that God's power is still the same, God is still the same, and we begin to believe and speak in the name of Jesus, that same supernatural power will be demonstrated. Now let's look back here at something. In Numbers 23:19, Balaam is talking, and he says, God is not a man, so he does not lie. He's not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? Then let's look over in Malachi 3:6, and look, the prophet was saying, I am the Lord, I do not change. I do not. That's powerful. That means when you use those terminologies in our English language, that means there is not the possibility that it can change. I do not change. Hello? Now let's look into Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and we hope tomorrow. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Here, we are plainly told that God does not change. Period. So if he ever was a delivering God, he's still a delivering God. If he ever was a miracle-working God, he's still a miracle-working God. His word does not change. In fact, it says in Psalm, the word is forever settled in heaven. It's forever settled. That's it. The precedence has been set. In law, if you go into law, the first thing that the attorney begins to look for is, has there been precedent set down? In other words, has the law already spoken about this? Is really what you should, would be another way of saying it. And if they find that, then they quote that to the judge, saying, listen, judge, there's no use of even dealing with this because the law has already been set precedent. Hello? Many, many years ago, back in 76, when we took over that building, we had problem getting one of the tenants out because in the contract said it could be negotiated. And he said, well, that's only, I can negotiate, you can't. So it, I said, well, who ever heard of that? Well, we had to go to court on it. And the judge told our attorney, he said, now I'm going to rule against you, but I want you to take this to the Supreme Court of Oklahoma because there has never been any precedence of law set. You are right, but there's nothing that I can rule because there's no law that has been set. So we took it to the Supreme Court. And, of course, we won, and the law is set down. And if they can go check that out, it'll be it's a precedent of law that's been set. Let me tell you what. The precedent of law has been set by God himself right here. It's written. And it can't change. The only way it can change is if he resets it. And he said in his word, I am the Lord, I don't change. So that means that it will always be the same now and forever. Let me tell you something. We need to begin to get a hold of the fact that he doesn't change. He's the same God. And we need to get a hold of the fact that when Peter said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, we need to get a hold of the fact that we have that anointing because God anointed us. How did he anoint us? He sent us the Holy Spirit. Hello? And in fact, John talks about it. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. It's already been set. The God of Elijah is still alive today. The God of the Old Testament is still alive today. The God of the New Testament is still alive today. The God of the revivals of yesteryear are still alive today. So all we need to do is begin to believe it and stand up in the name of Jesus and say it so. Jesus said, when I go away, you ask the Father in my name, and he will give it to you so that your joy will be complete. Amen? Let me tell you what. God is not about to leave any generation out. He is coming again. He said so. You see, he never changes. In fact, whenever the disciples there, they saw Jesus ascend into heaven, they said this same Jesus will return again in like manner. And he will return in the cloud of glory and catch us away. Right? But then if you study on, I don't have time to give an explanation in Revelation, but it says he will return to the earth. The first time when he catches us away, he doesn't touch the earth. He comes in the cloud like he was caught up. This same Jesus will come in like manner. Hello? He was caught away. But that, let me tell you, that won't change. It's been said. It's been set in precedence. It will never change. He is coming again. but until he comes. He told us to occupy till he comes. That, what does that mean? That means we are to say, take that same power that God was in the Old Testament, the same power that he had in the New Testament, the same power that he had in the revivals that has come through the ages, is the same power that we should be using today to demonstrate the power of God. Paul talks about us that we are to demonstrate God to the people around us. You may never preach on this platform, but you're a preacher. Every one of you is a preacher, a witness to the power of God. It's up to us to begin to believe it and to act like it's so. Too many people are, well, how come it's not happening? Well, where's God today? Well, I'll tell you where he is. He's sitting in heaven with his hand on the button, waiting for somebody that has enough gumption to get up and say, I believe God in the name of Jesus. Rise and walk. And when you do, he'll push the button. Hello? Come on. You know, I could tell somebody, hey, go get in my car. And if I'm close enough, I can push the button and they can open the door. Hello? Now, let me tell you what. They have to believe that I will, when they get to my car, I'll push the button. Hello? Because if I don't push the button, they can't get in. Let me tell you what. That's like us. We got to believe and then go in the name of Jesus and he'll push the button. Hallelujah. Anybody got that? I never thought of it. That ain't even a note. That just come to me. So I used it. Okay. Hallelujah. That's a good illustration though, isn't it? The name of Jesus spoken by the believer moves everything. Hallelujah. It says, speak to the mountain. Believe and speak. God is not powerless. His power is still the same. Hello. Now, you know, you got a car. And it, as it goes through the years, it begins to lose some of its power if it's not taken care of properly. Hello? It's not quite what it used to be. So you want a new car because it's better. Hey, God's power never changes. And so there's no use of praying, oh God, I need a new anointing. You don't need a new anointing. You need to work and operate in the anointing you have. Now, Elisha had to ask, he said, I want a double portion of your anointing. Now, let me say this. So I said, well, we are to pray for the double portion. No, we don't pray for the double portion. We have the anointing. See, back then, only the prophet, priest, and king were anointed. They anointed them with oil. They're the only ones that were anointed. They were anointed on the outward. We are anointed on the inside with the power of God in us. Everywhere we go, we got the power. So begin to believe it and begin to speak in the name of Jesus. It's in the name of Jesus. Too many people, they say, oh, Father, do it. Well, you're supposed to say, Father, do it in the name of Jesus. Jesus said it. It's written right here. This generation is not left out. I am so proud of all of this younger generation. And I got one of them sitting right there. Wesley Burns. The boy can preach. I'm so proud of him that you don't know how proud I am of him. But you know what? God's prouder because he accepted the call and he believes that he can do what the Word of God says. I was talking to him. He believes what he can do, what the Word of God says he can do. I'm proud of all of my family. I'm proud of Denise and Craig and all. I'm proud of all of them because they're all following God and doing what God asked them to do. But let me tell you what, that's the new generation sitting right there. Right in this congregation, I see a bunch of the new Rhema students that's coming in. Hey, you have the anointing, and it's time for you to step up. This younger generation, step up. Hey, you got, I'm of an older generation, but I can tell you about that. But if you want to have what I saw and what I grew up with, the God of Elijah and Elisha and the Old Testament, the New Testament, the disciples, the revivals of yesterday, you've got to believe that the power of God is the same for you and your generation. And you got to begin to speak it out in the name of Jesus. You're the ones that's going to carry the fire. You're the one that's going to carry the fire to this generation. You know how to meet their needs. I don't. I'm not of that generation. I know what my generation was, and I know what we had to do. And I preached as a young man. I preached to my generation. I preached a sermon back in those days. I was preaching, and I said, I preached a sermon about the number one tune on Hell's Top 40. Because back when I was a teenager growing up, starting to preach when I was 18, they on the radio, they played the top 40 hits. Anybody old enough to remember? I got a bunch of hands. Hey, let me tell you what, I'm preaching to those young people, and I was preaching, and I said, let me tell you what, the number one song title in hell is I Played the Fool. I've erred exceedingly. Don't be like that. Grab a hold of God and the things of God and begin to take the power of God to your generation. Then you can sing with Paul, I did what I was supposed to do. I saw the power of God move. I am part of the power of God. We as the older generation need to stand behind them and say, come on, you got it, you got it. Don't sinners say, well, what can they do? Let me tell you what, they're going to do a whole lot more than you ever done. Because they know how to reach this generation. Oh, Pakasana Lanamasa. That ain't in these notes, but I put it in there anyway and I ain't taking it back. This generation is not left out. Some of you older people say, well, I don't like the way they sing. I don't like they do either. Hey, they don't like the way you sing either. Come on now. Well, I don't like the way they present stuff. Hey, they don't like the way you present it. Why? Because that's your generation. This is their generation. And the power of God is still the same in every generation. But let me tell you what, we all presented it differently. And I'm standing behind everybody that will stand up and say, God is still the God today that he's always been, that he always has been, he always will be. He never will change. He's the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. God, my God, is still the God of Elijah. Hallelujah. Shout the glory, glory, hallelujah. Ain't no use to preach no more. I done preached you to your feet. I learned a long time ago. And when you preach them to their feet, that's it. Don't try to keep going. Hallelujah. I believe that the God of Elijah and Elisha and the God of Abraham and Isaac, the God of Peter, John, and James, the God of the men of yesteryear that I named their names, I believe that that same God is the same God today, and we are going to see his power demonstrated in our generation. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
It's the very same power that raised Christ from the dead. is alive in me. It's the very same power that overcame the grave is alive in me. And now I am holy since he rescued me. Since he rescued me.
Very same power.
And it's the very same power that raised Christ from the dead. He's alive in me.
Quicken you, just like it did Elijah and Elisha. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I trust you got a hold of what I'm trying to say this morning. The power of God is still here. The power of God is real. We got to keep it alive. When I was ordained in an organization that I was ordained into in 1967, denomination. Our speaker was the general superintendent of that organization, and he made a statement that I will never forget. He said, if we don't keep the fire of the Holy Spirit alive, we will die in the smoke. That's what I was talking about this morning. We got to keep that fire going, keep the power of God alive and well. Hallelujah. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Listen, bow your heads for just a moment. If you happen to be in here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you don't really know what I was talking about, well, you can get in on it. All you have to do is accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Or you know what it is to serve God, but you've turned your back and you walked away, and you need to come back and rededicate yourself to God. Anybody on any in that either one of those invitations, I want to pray for you and I want to pray with you. Let me see your hand anywhere downstairs, upstairs, anywhere in this room, right now, anywhere. Anybody need Christ? Anybody need to rededicate your life to God? Hallelujah. Is there anybody in here this morning? You know you're born of the Spirit, but you've never been filled with the Spirit. I'm not talking about, I'm talking about what it talks about in Acts chapter 2, number 4. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. You'd like to receive that spiritual experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit this morning. Anybody want to be filled with the Holy Spirit today? Let me see your hand. Hallelujah. Well, raise your hands and thank God for the power of God in your life, in the lives of people around you. Thank you, Jesus. Well, staff, y'all go to the door, shake people's hands. If you're a visitor, first-time guest with us, we're so glad to have you today. Connection team would be there and take you to get a special gift that we have for you out there in the lobby just for a moment. Hallelujah. There's where we're all going to be if you want to shake any of our hands. That's where we're going to be. Tonight, 6 o'clock right here, be service Wednesday night. Come believing, come expecting. Hallelujah. Don't forget, God is alive and well, and his power has not changed. They're going to sing a song. Give me a chance to get to the door. God bless you. We'll see you tonight, Wednesday night, next Sunday. God bless.